Okay, so we're learning Shoftim. We are in Perek Vav. And if you remember, we'll just review outside just for 2 minutes what's going on here. So we know that Midyan is taking control at the beginning of Perek Vav. They subjugate the Jewish people for 7 years in a strong way. And all sorts of problems. The Pesukim went in great detail describing all the problems and the tzaros that the Midianim, started with Bnei Yisrael. Then, Pasuk Zion, we have Bnei Yisrael crying out to Hashem, right? They realize that things are not good, and they cry out to Hashem. We pointed out that that's a problem, right? Because they only cried out to Hashem because things were not good. They didn't cry out to Hashem out of the ahava, out of the love. They cried out of the yirah because things were not good for them. So Hashem sends an Ish Navi. Hashem sends an Ish Navi, and we said according to some that's Pinchas. Rashi mentions that opinion that this Navi was Pinchas, and he comes and he tells them, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took you out of Mitzrayim. He did all these wonderful things. He did these miracles for you, and still you're not listening to him. Right? Trying to wake them up that the tzaros were not just out of the blue. The tzaros were because of their sins, of their actions. They didn't listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. So we did. Let's begin again. Pasuk Yud Aleph. I believe we read it last week, but we have Pasuk Yud Aleph. We have a malach coming and sitting under a tree. Vayavo malach Hashem vayeshev tachas ha'ela asher be'ofra. So a malach comes and sits under a tree in this place called Ofra, asher leYoash aviha Ezri, which belongs to this fellow named Yoash. The Aviha Ezri, presumably a reference to his family. Rashi says he was from the children of Aviezer, the son of Gilad, the son of Menashe. So he was from Shevet Menashe, and Avi Ezri was presumably his father or his family name. V'Gidon beno chovet chitim bagas, and Gidon his son is threshing or beating the wheat in the press. Lahanis mipnei Midyan. Different ways of explaining that, but essentially, we said last week that he was hiding from the Midianim because the Midianim would take all your crops, they would destroy all your crops. So he wanted to salvage some wheat. So he took the wheat and instead of taking it to the regular granary where people would process their wheat, he took it to the wine press, hopefully to hide it from the Midianim. They wouldn't be onto him. And that's what he was doing. We said last week also the Mefarshim point out that why does the Pasuk tell us what Gidon was doing? Who cares what he was doing? So let's say he's playing video games. I mean, right? What's the difference? So the Mefarshim say that no, the reason why the Pesukim say this is because really his father was really doing it. His father was the one who was beating the wheat, threshing the wheat, processing the wheat. Gidon said to his father, you know, listen, you know, Tati, you're an old man, and you need your strength. Lahanis mipnei Midyan, because we might have to run from Midyan. We're always on the run, right? The Jews are always on the run from the Midyanim. You need to conserve your energy, conserve your strength. Let me do it. Right, I'm young. Let me, you know, beat the wheat, and that's what he was doing. And the Mefarshim said that because of that act of kibud av, that was a zchus that stood for Gidon and allowed him to see the malach as we're about to see, and eventually become the Moshiach, become the savior of the Jewish people in this time. So let's see pasuk yud beis. So right here we have this malach who's waiting. Right, vayeshiv tachas va'ela. He's waiting, and he finally sees this zchus that Gidon has this tremendous kibud av, and now the malach appears to Gidon. Vayera elav malach Hashem. So the malach Hashem appears to Gidon. Vayomer elav Hashem imcha gibor hachayim. So he says to Gidon that Hashem is with you, right? Gibor hachayim, you're a courageous soldier. Courageous soldier. So what's he saying? What's the idea here? So most of the Mefarshim understand that he is giving him a little pep talk, right? Gidon's about to be appointed as the savior of the Jewish people, and he's giving him a pep talk. He's saying, Hashem is going to be with you, and you're a gibor achayil. So you have internal strength, you have internal gvura, that you can feel capable of defeating the Midyanim, plus Hashem imcha, right? Hashem is going to be with you. Hashem, as we know, Hashem is the ish milchama, right? The Al-Sheikh says Hashem is the ish milchama, so he's the ultimate warrior, he's the ultimate the ultimate successful being in battle, so to speak. and therefore you have nothing to worry about. This is your mission. You can do it. You have the Gvura. As the Malbim says, you have the Kiddusha, you have the Gvura, you have all of the Midos that are necessary to defeat the Midianim. Gideon says, whoa, slow down. Vayomer, he loved Gideon. So Gideon says to him, one second, sir. Be Adoni. Right, he calls him, my master, referring to this Malach. V'yesh Hashem imanu. Is it true? Right, is it true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us? You're telling me Hashem imcha, right? Hashem is with you. Is that really true that Hashem is with us? V'lama mitza'asnu kol zos. So why did all of this tragedy, why did all of this suffering befall us? Where are all the wonders that our fathers have taught us about? All the bedtime stories that we heard about Yitzias Mitzrayim and about all the other things. Where are all those miracles? Where are all those wonders? Leimor, halomi Mitzrayim, he'alonu Hashem. Right? Didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu take us out of Mitzrayim? V'atad netashanu Hashem. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, seems to have abandoned us. V'itneinu b'chaf Midyan. And he just delivered us into the hands, into the hands of the Midianim, right? So you're telling me Hashem imcha gibor achayu? Where is he? Where's Hashem? Right? I've heard all these stories about wonders. I've heard all these stories about miracles, about HaKadosh Baruch Hu saving Bnei Yisrael. Where is he? He's not saving us now. The Radak points out that v'yesh Hashem imanu. Rashi tells us here that it was Pesach, right? That this was during the time of Pesach. And the Radak says, V'yesh Hashem Iman, according to the Medrash, that last night we read Hallel. Right? He says, last night we read the Hallel. It's Leil Pesach. And what did we say? My father said it, you know, presumably, I guess, at the Seder. V'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim. Right? That's why he's bringing up Mitzrayim. Now, it's not just out of the blue. We saw Pinchas also brought up Mitzrayim. Right? It's Pesach time. So he says, we said last night, V'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim. So if they were tzaddikim, and that's why you took them out of Mitzrayim, so in their merit, save us also. In the merit of our avos, in the merit of our imahos, they were tzaddikim, we took them out of Mitzrayim, so save us as well. And if they were not tzaddikim, and you saved them anyway, so do the same for us. So we're also not tzaddikim. Right? So mimanafshach, either way. If they were tzaddikim, you know, let us ride on their coattails. And if they were not tzaddikim, so just like you delivered them, deliver us. Save us as well. The Malbim says here, that if you look at the words here, what does he write? What does he say? V'lama mitza'asnu kol zos. Why have all of these things literally found us? Mitza'asnu. Right? Why have they found us? So says the Malbim, the Girona thought that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing was taking away his hashgacha. And this is a theme throughout the Malbim. We've seen this many times in the Malbim, throughout Sefer Yehoshua and Shoftim, right? That one of the ways sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes the Jewish people is by removing his hashgacha. He has a special hashgacha, a special divine providence with which he guides our lives and takes care of us. And sometimes, to punish us, he leaves us up to nature. He just removes the special hashgacha and lets us do whatever. Okay? So mitza'asnu implies nature, something found us. Right? These things have befallen us. That's like a natural course. And what's his question? The ayei chol nifla'osav. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away his hashgacha, right? And therefore allowed all of these tzoros to find us. Where are all the niflos? What are the niflos? The niflos are the wonders that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does when he's mashgiach, when he's watching over us. Where are all those things? And says the Malbim, Mitzrayim, our ancestors were not all that great, right? Going with that interpretation of the Radak. Our ancestors in Mitzrayim were not all that great. Memtesh sharei tumah. Right, they were on the 49th level of Tumah, and still you saved them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu can save us now also. He can save us now also. So why did he? It must be he removed his hashgacha. Why did he remove his hashgacha? The Alshich points out here, and this is something that he works with over the next several psukim, and he says that the Gidon did not know exactly who he was speaking to right now. So we know before, he spoke to a Navi, right? That was the Navi. We said maybe that was Pinchas. Okay? Now, somebody else comes to him, right? It's a Malach. Now, he's looking at this, presumably it had the form of a human being, right? He's talking to this, looks like a person. He's not sure, is this a Navi? Is this another Navi? Is this a Malach? Okay? And here also the Al-Sheikh introduces us, and the Al-Sheikh and the Malbim both work with this and both understand this way, that there are two types of malachim. Two types that they tell us about. So one type of malach is a malach that that literally has Hashem with him at the time. That when the malach appears, when the malach comes, Hashem is with the malach. And that's called the malach Hashem. He says there's another type of malach called the malach Elohim. And what's the malach Elohim? The malach Elohim is on a shlichus. He's on a mission. So he doesn't have Hashem with him right now, so to speak. Hashem sent him to do something. So he's going out and he's doing it. Right? But it's not that Hashem is with him. So he says, Gideon's not sure who he's talking to right now. He's not sure. Is this another Navi? Is this a Malach Hashem? And the Shekhin is right here with me? Is this a Malach Elohim? And the Shekhin is not right here, but I'm talking to a Malach who's doing his mission? What's going on? Who am I talking to? Now, Pasuk Yedalev, Vayifen Elov Hashem. Okay, so now, what does that sound like? Vayifen Elov Hashem. So who's coming to him? Sounds like Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? Sounds like now Hashem is turning to him. Okay, Vayifen Elov Hashem, and that's what Rashi says. We're talking about Hashem himself. Vayomer, Leich Bechochacha Ze. Go with this koach, with this strength, with this koach. Vahushata es Yisrael mikaf Midyan halo shelachticha. And go save Bnei Yisrael from the hands of Midyan. Have I not sent you? Right? Meaning, I'm sending you. This is your mission. Okay, so again, Rashi says, this was Hashem himself speaking. Not everyone agrees with that. The Mesudas Tavit says, no, this is, it doesn't mean Hashem, really Hashem, it means the Malach of Hashem. Right, the Malach of Hashem. But, according to Rashi, it's Hashem himself. Says the Radak, explaining along the lines of Rashi, that it's Hashem himself. Hashem says that if you're advocating for my children, right, because think about it. The Malach just came to Gideon and he said, Hashem is with you. What did Gideon do? He talked back. Right? Gideon talked back to the Malach. Gideon said, Hashem is with me? Where is Hashem? Right? How come he's not saving Bnei Yisrael? Why did he take his Hashkach away from Bnei Yisrael? He saved Bnei Yisrael coming out of Mitzrayim. Why can't he do the same now? So Gideon was advocating for Bnei Yisrael. He was the public advocate, so to speak. So says the Malach, right, or I'm sorry, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that if you're advocating for my people, I'm going to talk to you myself now. Right? I'm going to talk to you myself. I'm not sending a malach anymore. I see that you're advocating for my people. I see that you're going to bat for Klal Yisrael. I'm going to come and speak with you myself. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. That's why he came.
But don't we say that Hashem doesn't talk to anyone except for Moshe?
Good question. And I'll be honest with you. As I was learning this whole parak and learning through the Mefarshim, this question popped into my head many times, because this is something that the Mefarshim, you know, they dance around this issue of, like, was Hashem talking to him, and was he talking? But we'll see in a couple of psukim very strange language regarding Gideon, which almost sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu, right? And it's interesting because there are certain elements here we'll see which almost sound like Moshe. You know, it sounds like almost like Moshe speaking, you know, like the same conversation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had with Moshe at the Sneh when he appointed him and he wanted him to go save Bnei Yisrael from Mitzrayim. You know, we're hearing like echoes of that, you know, in this incident with Gideon. It's very interesting. You know, it's a very good point. It's a very interesting point, and you're right. Usually we say that panim el panim, right, pel pel adaberbo, that we all, that's only reserved for Moshe Rabbeinu. He had the special level of nevuah. All the other nevi'im were just, you know, they saw the halom, they saw at night with a dream. You're right. But so it seems to be here something else is going on. You know, Gideon's getting some like extra level of nevuah, which is not standard, and somehow is called for based on the way Gideon is acting and the situation and the circumstances. It's a good point. Yeah.
Could it be with the koach zeh, this strength, meaning I'm giving you now more than the nevuah, I'm raising you up, which would be...
Interesting, maybe. The koach zeh, that I'm giving you extra strength, almost like Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm giving you like an extra level of nevuah, almost like Moshe Rabbeinu. It's also fascinating because Gideon, you know, we've never heard of Gideon before. Right? Before this parak in Shoftim, it's not like Gideon is a famous personality throughout Tanakh. Right? Excuse me. He's pretty much a one, you know, like Lahavdil. What do they say? One hit wonder?
Yeah.
You know? He's coming, You know, this is like his. This is his time to shine. Many of the shoftim were like that. They had one era where they excelled and they did something special, and then that was it. That's the end of it. You know, you hear about them and then you don't hear about them anymore, right? So it's interesting. The mefarshim later they speak about that. They quote a gemara where the gemara says, I remember exactly. Oh, the gemara Rosh Hashanah says that Gidon, Shimshon, and Yiftach were two other shoftim that we're going to learn about. Later in Sefer Shoftim, they were all Kale Olam. What's Kale Olam? They're lightweights, right? Literally, like lightweights. You know, the Mitzudas David says, as opposed to Gedolei Olam. You know, Gedolei Olam are the heavyweights. Those are the Gedolim. These three Shoftim, they were great people, but relatively speaking, among all the other Shoftim, among all the other Nevi'im, they were lightweights. You know, so it's interesting that here someone that the Gemara describes as a relative lightweight. Now again, lightweight is a relative term, right? That's like saying like the players on the Knicks. You know, you have like the worst player on the Knicks could still wipe the floor with us. You know, because he's still in the NBA, right? So here you have also they were still shoftim, they were still great people, but relatively speaking, of all the other shoftim, these were the lightweights. So someone that the Gemara describes as on the lower end of the Shoftim spectrum, and yet here we have this Vayifin Elov Hashem, right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was almost speaking to him, you know, is an incredible thing. It's really an incredible thing. Okay. Now what's the Koach? So Aaron just gave one suggestion of the Koach. The Radak says the Koach refers to his advocating for the Jewish people. You feel so passionate about the Jewish people, you feel so passionate about Bnei Yisrael that you're even willing to speak back to the, right, talk back to the Navi, to the Malach, and say, hey, you know, you tell me HaKadosh Baruch Hu's here, where is he? He's not saving the Jewish people. That passion for the Jews, that passion for Bnei Yisrael, that's what you're going to take with you to the battlefield, right? That's how you're going to defeat the Midianim, with that passion. The Malbim says also, he says the Koach is either maybe a Gvura, right, like we call the Gidon before the Gibor Achayil, maybe that's the Koach that we're referring to. He had a certain courage and a certain Gvura. He says maybe also it was he was a little argumentative, right? We just, you know, he again this you know, fighting, so to speak, talking back on behalf of the Jewish people. The Malbim says maybe that's also the Koach. So a few different interpretations of what this Koach could be. Pasuk Tezvav, Vayomer Elov B. Now the Pasuk, I'm going to read the Pasuk. It says B Adonai. Now there's a question here, is this a Shem Kodesh or a Shem Cho? Is this referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or it's actually referring to the Malach, and it's a Shem Cho? So that's a machlokes among the Mefarshim. But he asks, Bama Oshia Es Yisrael. He says, how am I going to do this? And again, you know, think to Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, you hear the echoes of Moshe's response to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the Sneh. He says, how am I going to save Klal Yisrael? Hine al pi hadal b'menashe, my elef, because they were, you know, the Jewish people were broken up by the thousands, and they had the sari alafin. So he says, my elef, my thousand, we're the poorest in all of Menashe, right? And within Shem and Menashe, I come from the poorest, you know, chelik, and within Menashe, ve'anochi hatzoyer beveis avi, and I'm the youngest one in my father's house, right? Basically, he's saying, who am I? Who am I to come and be Moshiach Yisrael? But again, almost like Moshe Rabbeinu, who am I to go and save the Jewish people from Mitzrayim? So again, this is the Radak says that the Adonai here is not the Shem Hashem. He says he didn't even know yet. Again, like we said, he didn't know that he was speaking to an angel yet. He's not sure who he's talking to. He sees a man here who's talking to him. Maybe it's a Navi. Right, so he's just speaking with him as respectfully. That's all. Targum Yonasan does say that it's Kodesh. She says it's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Alfi, I interpreted Alfi, which is how Rashi says it, that it was referring to the thousand, section, so to speak, of Menashe. Some say it's just referring to his father. Now the Alshich says that this is referring to Hashem. Right, the Adoshem is actually referring to Hashem. It's a Shem Adnus, but it's also, he says, it's the Midas Hadin, the Adon. Hashem is the master. So it's the Midas Hadin. So he's asking that if I'm supposed to save them, right? You're telling me you're coming, right? You're coming, you're telling me I'm supposed to save them. Klal Yisrael is in a bad spot right now. The Midas Hadin is out right now. How am I going to do it? What schus am I going to use to save Klal Yisrael? I don't have any schusim. I don't have any personal schus. And if you tell me, you know, okay, so you don't have any personal schus, but you'll come, you have a strong family. I don't have a strong family. Right? My family is very shvach. I come from the smallest, from the weakest, from the poorest part of Menashe. So I don't really have any strength behind me. I don't have the numbers. I don't have a big army. I don't have any personal tzchus because I'm not really much of anything myself. So you need a double nace in order for me to be successful here. You need a double miracle. Right? I can't do it and I have no army behind me. So how am I going to do this? Yes, exactly. The Malbim says here also that that he thought that he was supposed to be victorious using natural means, right? And he says the pasuk says in Shmos, ki hine anochi sholeach malach lefanecha. And the Malbim says that whenever the Torah describes that a malach is going before you, that means it's a counterintuitive for us, but that actually means that you're going to defeat them by natural means. With Malach going before you, that's a Shaliach of Hashem. Hashem will be with you. Hashem will be helping you. But you're going to defeat them by natural means. So that was his problem here. He said, you're sending me a Malach. You're sending me a Malach. Again, according to this, he understands it's a Malach. That's a question in the Rishonim. Did he understand he was talking to a Malach or not? But if you say he understands he's talking to a Malach, he said, he sent me a Malach. That's natural means. Natural means, I'm the smallest guy in my family. I'm the youngest in my family. I'm the weakest, poorest part of my Shevet. How am I going to do this? I can't command the Jewish army. Pasuk Tezayin. Vayomer Elav Hashem. So again, Hashem says to him, and again, the whole question here, who's talking? It sounds like Hashem is talking. The Radak says, no, Hashem is not talking here. This is the Malach still speaking. We sometimes find Malachim speaking, and the Pasuk says, Hashem is speaking, right? So Vayomer Elav Hashem, Hashem says to him, or the Malach says to him, Ki ehaye imach, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. V'hiki says Midyan, ki ish echad. Right? And I'm going to, you're going to defeat Midyan like one person. So forget about it. It doesn't matter. You're the weakest one and you're the smallest, youngest in your family. No problem. Right? You're afraid no one's going to listen to you because you're such a young person. Don't worry. I'll be with you. They'll listen to you. You're afraid you don't have a big army behind you because the part of your shevet is very weak and very poor. Don't worry, I'm going to be with you. You'll be fine. You'll be victorious. It'll be quick, right? The Mitzvah Stavit said it'll be quick and easy, just like a fight with an individual, with one person. You beat up one guy, that's it. The fight's over, right? The Al-Shech says that what does this mean? You're fighting with one person, so you have two people. So you're fighting with one guy. The other guy's going to come back him up. So you might, punch Reuven in the face, but then Shimon's going to come to attack you, and then Reuven's going to get back up on his feet, and then you're done, right? So that when you fight with two people, it's not good. So here it's going to be you're fighting with one person. The Al-Sheikh says also that and this is kind of in the metaphysical realm, that whenever Bnei Yisrael fought with a nation, with another nation of the world, whatever the enemy was, so they're sar in shamayim. Every nation has an angel. Every nation has a sar in shamayim. Like we talk about the sar shel Esav, right? So every nation has a sar, and the sar in shamayim is also fighting. In the metaphysical realm, that sar is fighting for their nation. So he says that I'm going to allow you to defeat me. He says Midyan ki ish echad, that you'll only be fighting against Midyan, not their sar. That the sar of Midyan, the angel of Midyan, will be sidelined. Right, we're going to sideline the angel of Midyan so that in the metaphysical realm he's not going to accomplish much. And he says, interestingly, and maybe this is a medrash somewhere, I'm not familiar with this, but he says that the Tsar of Mitzrayim was also sidelined. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu defeated Mitzrayim in the end. He sidelined the Tsar of Mitzrayim. He calls him Uzzah here, but I think we read last week that the name of the Tsar of Mitzrayim was also Mitzrayim. But that's based on a pasuk that we read. But okay, either way, it means that he's gonna do it quickly and he's gonna do it effectively. He's gonna beat them. Pasuk Yudzayin, Vayomer Elav, and Gideon says back to the Malach. Okay, and again, echoes of Moshe Rabbeinu's conversation. Imna matzasi chen beinecha. If I have found favor in your eyes, V'asisa li'os sh'ata medaber imi. Give me a sign that you're really speaking with me. Like, give me a sign, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you're really speaking with me. Because again, this is a malach. This is a malach. And Mitzvot HaStav, it says that Gidon was not a regular Navi. Gidon didn't get Nevuah all the time. So all of a sudden, he's getting this communication. He's being visited by a Navi. He's being visited by a malach. And he's a little confused. You know, what's going on here? Is this for real? Right? Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu really communicating with me? I need a sign. I need you to explain yourself. I need you to show that you're really here. The Malbim explains this pasuk also with this with the idea that we mentioned before, that again, whenever Hashem speaks through a malach, the victory is natural, right? It's a natural victory, and the victory will be through the malach, and therefore you need to go about it with strategy, with an army, you know, with all the things that that you normally need in battle. So he says that's why Gidon says imna matzasi chein beinecha. Why is Gidon talking about metzius chein? That if I have found favor in your eyes, right? So he says that because metzius chein is the evidence of Hashem acting miraculously. That we find several psukim in the Torah where we describe Hashem acting in a miraculous fashion with this terminology of metzius chein. So says the Malbim, Gidon is saying, "Yimna matzasi chen beinach." If I found favor in your eyes, meaning, show me, is this going to be miraculous or is this going to be natural? Right, this battle that you're talking about, that I'm going to lead Bnei Yisrael to battle and defeat Midian, is that going to be a miraculous battle or is that going to be a natural battle? Because naturally, I don't have a big army behind me. I'm the youngest in my clan, in my family. No one's going to listen to me. So if we're going at it natural, I don't really see how this is going to work. If you're telling me miraculous, okay, I can handle a miracle, right? But naturally, I don't really see this working. We'll see in a second that he's going to give a certain offering. The Malbim says another reason why he asked for a sign. It wasn't just because he wanted to see, but the Malbim says also that if you have good tidings, good news, that comes from a malach, comes from a navi or a malach, so then that cannot be rescinded. But if it comes to individuals, right? If this good news comes to individuals, not acting as agents of Hashem, it comes to individuals, so then it can be rescinded if the people are no longer deserving, right? So he says, for example, he quotes the Bris Ben Abisarim. The Bris Ben Abisarim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave good tidings to Avram Avinu. I mean, some bad and some good. He said that they're going to be a foreign nation in a strange land. Right? They're going to be in a place that's not theirs. So why do you need the whole thing with the Bris Ben Abisarim, where you have these animals and Avram divided them in half and he put them on either side. He walked through them. Why do you have this whole ceremony? So says the Malbim, the reason why that ceremony was necessary is because without the ceremony, that nevuah can be rescinded. That nevuah can be rescinded because that was coming to Avram Avinu as an individual, right? That wasn't coming, you know, through a malach to go tell Bnei Yisrael. That was coming to Avram as an individual. So good news that comes to an individual can be changed unless there's an os. And that's why the Bris Ben Abisarim, that's why you needed the whole ceremony. Because once you have this ceremony with this sign that it's divine, that it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? That can no longer be rescinded. So here, what's Gidon saying? You're coming to me and you're telling me that go to battle, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to give you Midian, right? You're going to defeat Midian. Gidon is saying, one second, you're coming to me as an individual. You're not coming to me to tell Klal Yisrael this. You're not coming to me as a Navi that I'm supposed to deliver a message to the Jewish people. You're coming to me as an individual. If you're coming to me as an individual, this can change. Just because you're telling me that we're going to defeat Midian, we might not be successful if Bnei Yisrael are not deserving. So therefore, I want a sign, says Gideon. Again, a little chutzpah here. I want a sign. Because if you give me a sign, if you give me an os, so then it can't change. Then it can't be rescinded. He's looking for a guarantee. Like, Gideon wants a guarantee here. He wants this to be signed, sealed, and delivered. We're going to defeat Midian, and that's it. Right? So I want a sign. I want an os that this is going to ensure that it happens. Pasuk Yidches. Al na samush mizeh. Ad bo'i elecha. Okay, so Gidon So Gideon says to him, don't move, right? Don't move. Stay here until I come back, right? Stay right here. Okay, I'm going to come back in a minute. And I'm going to bring my offering. He's going to bring a carbon mincha, flower offering. I'm going to place it before you. Okay? And this is going to be the sign. So the Malach says to him, Anochi eshev ad shuvecha. He said, no problem. I'm not going anywhere. Right? I'm going to sit here till you get back. Okay? The Ralbag says also, this proves that Gideon was awake here. Right? Like you said, right? Normally, Nevi'im would get a Nevu'ah, they would be sleeping. But here, he can't be sleeping. Right? He's telling him, wait right here, I'm going to be back in a second. I'm going to get my offering. He's got to be awake. So he's awake. Okay? Now, the Al-Sheikh says that this was a little bit of a test that Gideon was doing. Why? Because he's about to bring something that's a karban. Now, a karban can only be accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if this malach, says the Al-Sheikh, is a malach Hashem, where the Shechina is with the malach, so then the HaKadosh Baruch Hu can accept this karban through the malach. But if Hashem is not here, if Hashem's Shechina is not here right now with this malach, so then the malach can't accept a karban by himself, right? A karban is only a HaKadosh Baruch Hu can accept a karban. So he's bringing this to see a little bit of a test. What's going to happen here? Is he going to accept this as a karban, and that shows me that Hashem is really here? Or maybe not. And what's the alternative? Maybe he's going to eat it. And he says, just like the malachim with Lot, with Avraham. Remember the malachim came to Avraham. What did Avraham do? He served them a whole Suda. Right? He served them a whole Suda. So they ate it. So Gideon says, maybe this guy's going to eat it. Maybe he's a malach. He's going to eat this offering. So he says, one way or the other, I'll be able to tell. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu's with him, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept this as a karba. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu's not with him, and he's just an angel of Hashem, he's a messenger of Hashem.
But if he's a messenger of Hashem, isn't he talking for Hashem?
He's talking for Hashem, but we see clearly in the Mefarshim that there's a difference between talking on behalf of Hashem and talking almost like with Hashem. And again, these are like these two different types of malachim that the Al-Sheikh and the Malbim are working with here.
Because when the malachim came to Avram, they were malachim, they ate, but they told...
But the Shechina wasn't with them.
Right, but they told Avram what was going to happen and everything.
Right, correct. No. They're still malachim, and they can still tell them things, right? But it's interesting, he says that the malachim would not eat if the Shechina was there. Right? So if the malachim are eating, that's a proof that the Shechina is not there. It's not respectful to eat with the Shechina there. So if the Shechina is here, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept this as a karban. If the Shechina is not here, the malachim are going to eat it. Okay? Now why are the malachim going to eat it? This is fascinating. And he says, this is the same reason why the malachim ate it when it came to Avram. Why? Because there's a medrash that says that when you're in a certain place, you have to follow the customs of that place. Right? So now malachim don't eat. Right? Malachim don't eat. But when they come down and they interact with human beings do eat. So the malachim also eat. Right? Minhag HaMakom. The minhag HaMakom here is to eat. So the malachim eat also. Right? Fascinating thing. But the malachim had, followed the minhag HaMakom. You find it such a... You see that the idea of conforming to the practices of the place is so strong that even the malachim are governed by that. And he says, that's why they ate with Avram Avinu, right? And he says, that's why here too, they would eat. If the Shechina is not with them, they're going to eat. Because that's what people do. I think today, sometimes we think, we don't like this idea. We don't like to conform. We're non-conformists. So we don't like we don't like to conform to other people's, I am who I am, and I'm going to be who I'm going to be, no matter where I am. Right? But this is an important concept, that if we're in a place where there's a certain, different minhag, right, different way of doing things. We have to conform. It's not, it's not respectful not to conform to that to that minhag. So it's a fascinating. Even the malachim were governed by this. So let's see, pasuk yutes, v'gidon ba. So Gideon came back. Right, he comes back with his offering. Vayas gidiizim, and he prepares a goat. Ve'efas kemach matzos, and he prepares matzos. And Rashi says, you see here also, this was Pesach. Right? That's why he's bringing matzah. He says it was the day of the Tenufas HaOmer, which is the 16th of Nisan, the second day of Pesach. Okay, but either way, it was Pesach, so he brings matzah. Habasar sam basal. So the meat of the goat he puts in a basket. The hamarak sam ba parur. Now the marak, now usually marak means soup, right? Mefarshim say here it wasn't a separate soup. He wasn't serving them soup. But he says this was the liquid that the meat was boiled in. The meat was boiled in a liquid. And he took out the meat and he put it in a basket. And the leftover liquid was in this pot. And he brings this whole, this offering out to the malach that's under this, that's sitting under the tree. Okay, so he brings the meat, he brings these matzos, and he brings it to it. Now again, says the Malbim, he's not sure what's going to happen here. He doesn't know, is this going to be accepted as a karban? And the Mefarshim point out that all of these things are fit to be a karban. A goat can be a karban, matzos can be a karban. So he brought things that could be a karban, but could also be eaten. So he's not sure, is it going to be a karban, is it going to be eaten? So what happens? Pasuk Chaf, Vayomer Elov Malach Elokim. So the Malach Elokim says to him, Kach es habasar v'es hamatzos, v'hanach el hasela halaz. So he says, take the meat and the matzos that you just brought and put it on that rock. Put it over there on the rock. V'es hamarak shvoch, and pour out the liquid, like the liquid that the meat was cooked in, spill that out. Vayaske. And that's what he's going to do. That's what he's going to do. So the Al-Sheikh says that here the Malach was beginning to hint to him that Hashem is here. Hashem is with me. And therefore I'm not going to eat from this. Because I can't eat with the Shekhinah here. That's not respectful for me to eat with the Shekhinah here. So he was already hinting to him that the Shekhinah was here and therefore I'm not going to eat. Go put it on the rock over there. And now what happens? This food is on the rock. Vayishlach Malach Hashem es ketzei hamishenes asher biyado. The Malach takes the staff that's in his hand and he reaches with the edge of the staff. He reaches vayigaba basar v'matzos, and he touches the basar, the meat, and the matzos which are sitting on this rock. Vatal ha'esh min hatzur, and all of a sudden the rock burst into flames. Vatochal es habasar v'es hamatzos, and it consumes the meat and the matzos which are sitting on top of this rock. Umalach Hashem halach me'enav. And the Malach disappears. Okay? So Gidon sees, okay, this is serious business here. Right? This is serious business. That's the sign I was asking for. Right? That here he puts down these things, and everything is just immediately consumed with fire as soon as he touches it. Right? The rock bursts into flames, it's consumed with fire, and the Malach disappears. It's clear, says the Malbim, this is clear now, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with him. And that's why he says, that's why he calls it a Malach Hashem. Before we called it Malach HaElokim in Pasuk Chaf, because it still wasn't clear. Is Hashem really with him or not? And now it's clear. Now it's a Malach Hashem. Now it's clear that it's a Malach Hashem. The Ralbag has a fascinating Ha'ara here. He says that if you think about it, we haven't learned this yet. This is you know, a little bit later in the Nevi'im. But he says that this miracle is very similar to another famous miracle. What's that other famous miracle? Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel. Right? That if you remember the story with Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel, that it was a debate between the Nevi'ei HaBaal, right, the prophets of Baal, and Eliyahu. And Eliyahu said, okay, you know, put them over there and put me over here and let's see who's the MS, right? And they had their offering and he had his offering. And what happened? A fire comes down from heaven and consumes his offering, proving that Eliyahu was the correct Navi. Very similar miracle here. Right? Very similar miracle. Not exactly the same, because here the rock is erupting in fire and consuming the offering, but a very similar miracle. Says the Ralbag, interestingly, he says that who was the original Navi who came to Gidon? Pinchas. He says there's an opinion in Chazal that Pinchas, Zo Eliyahu. That Pinchas and Eliyahu are the same person. So he says maybe that's why there's a similarity here in the Nais. Right, in this sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here, just like Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel, the fire came down and devoured his korban, so to hear, that's what the Malach, that's what the Navi, Pinchas, is showing that he's a Shaliach of Hashem. Yes. Interesting. Also their fire, but not being consumed. Very interesting. Very interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, very good. Pasuk Chaf Beis, Vayar Gidon Kimalach Hashem Hu. Oh, So now it's clear to Gido, right? Again, some of the Mefarshim understood he wasn't sure who he was talking to. Now it's abundantly clear. He was talking to a Malach Hashem, the Shechina was here. Vayomer Gidon, aha, Adoshem, Hashem, right? Here it's certainly Kodesh. He says, Oi, Hashem, ki al kein ro'isi Malach Hashem, ponim el ponim. Right, very interesting language, a little bit pale, right? But he says, I just saw a Malach Hashem face to face. Okay, and Rashi and many of the Mefarshim understand that aha is like it's a cry of worry. You know, you're saying, Oi, Oi, I just saw Malach Hashem face to face. Now, what's the Oi? What's the big deal? So you just saw Malach Hashem face to face. Why is that a problem? So the Malbim says that what was he scared of? Many of the Mefarshim understand this, that he was scared that we're physical people. We can't see things that are purely spiritual, right? When is the only time that a human being can see things that are spiritual? When his neshama begins to leave, right? When the neshama begins to separate from the guf, so then already a person can begin to see things in a different way, right? They talk about when Yaakov was on his deathbed, he's able to gather his sons. Some of them question say, how did Yaakov know he was going to die? He felt it. But he felt the neshama leaving. You can see certain things. So all of a sudden, he chaps a pachad, Gidon, because he says, if I could see this malach, then maybe I'm about to die. Maybe that means my neshama is leaving, and that's what enabled me to see this malach. That's what enabled me to see it. Vayomer lo Hashem, shalom lecha, al tira lo tamus. So Hashem says to him, and again, some understand that this is not Hashem, but this is the malach speaking. But he says, don't worry. Right, you're not going to die, even though you just saw a Malach Hashem. Right, even though you just saw a Malach Hashem, you just saw something very holy. But you're not going to die. I think the Musar for us, you know, just to conclude, the Musar for us here is that it's so hard in life, and we know this, right? It's so hard in life. Just like Gidon was scared that if he saw something spiritual, he can't really be physical. You know, it's so hard for us to connect to spiritual things in the world because we're so physical, right? We live in the real world. Right, that's where we live, right? We work, we eat, we go to the bathroom, we do all the things that everybody normally does. It's hard for us to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. It's hard for us to see the Malachim in the world. It's hard for us to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What we have to try to do is that despite that physical, despite our bodies, separate them a little bit, right? Separate the neshama from the body a little bit. Now, of course, you know, not to die, Chas V'Shalom, but to remain alive. But if we separate it a little bit, you know, we can catch a glimpse. Catch a glimpse of a malach, catch a glimpse of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, catch a glimpse of something more holy in this world, despite the physical body which sometimes tethers us down. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. Again, I'm not sure...